My name is Robert, Dr. Robert Maxwell. I've worked in St. Anthony's Institution for the Mentally Unstable for almost 15 years now, and I've decided to speak out about the events which have taken place in this godforsaken excuse for a hospital. I've never been a pushover by any means, or a softie. I've always stood up for myself, and I've always stood up for what was right in the name of science, but recently most of the experiments that have gone on here have purely been for the enjoyment of some very sick and twisted owners and managers. Let me start from the beginning. December 2000. This is when I was stationed in St. Anthony's for about 2 years. Everything seemed rather normal up until now. Every day I'd go room to room administering medication and giving patients some light counseling and asking them how they were feeling, etc. I'd also always try to tell them a few jokes to help them through their day. Experiments had taken place, for example, showing a patient with memory issues and psychosis certain pictures and patterns, while playing a genre of music from their childhood, to see if their memories would pick up anything particular from those methods and rewire in some sense. These experiments never worked. It wasn't until around Christmas time that the experiments changed. There was one doctor in particular, Reynolds Smith, the administrator of all the dosages of medication and the correctional officer in the hospital. A weird mix of duties, I know. He never really spoke much, but when he did, it was with hatred and bitterness towards the patients. It was as if they had all done something that enraged him, just by being mentally damaged. I'd often see scars appear on patients on my floor's arms, and I'd automatically presume they were from self-harming, so I could take them to Dr. Smith for an evaluation. I only noticed something wasn't right when they were coming from his room, paler and trembling more than ever. October 2003, Dr. Smith began staying back after hours to carry out the private experiments on his subjects. How he wasn't questioned on it, I never know. He'd sometimes tell everyone he was locking up, and I'd come in the next day to see him in the same clothes, with a sick grin on his face, walking out of his office. I wanted to know what he was doing to the patients as they were getting sicker and sicker and more mentally unstable by the day. I called him out on it one day, and I said that I wanted to be a part of the experiments. He told me that he had finished his list of tests, but he needed a volunteer to try out a new experiment called the Sleeping Beauty. Even the sound of this sent shivers from my feet to the tip of my balding head. I hesitantly agreed to take part in it. I started with a series of mini experiments which ranged from blood tests to nerve reaction therapy to even some electric shock therapy, all of which I was told was successful on the subject. And I was told to take down notes, and regardless of how the subject reacted, I was to write patient number blank is improving rapidly due to test 35, etc. And that's when the actual testing started. Dr. Smith explained to me that the patients would be placed in a sensory deprivation tank, i.e. all their senses would be virtually removed, and they would be alone with their minds, so as then we could read them better. A sedative would be administered through the tubing system, and they would be put to sleep. I was told they would feel no pain. Rather, they would feel the most relaxed in years. We carried this out on my subjects night after night, even though they mostly begged and pleaded for us not to put them back in the tank. One patient even went to the extreme of scratching his eyes out and biting off his tongue to make us stop. He still went in the tank, too. September 2006, I was involved in the testing and note-taking of subjects almost for 3 years now. All the patients we've tested virtually became unresponsive after a couple of months, but the tests still continued and advanced around the hospital, eventually testing every patient in this place. We even expanded to the women's ward, started testing them too, and I'd lie if I said that I wasn't starting to enjoy it a little bit. I don't know what it was. The screams before they went in, the convulsions, their eyes rolling into the back of their head, or them begging for their mothers and fathers when they got out. It was just something. August 2009. I don't know what kind of effect Dr. Smith is having on me. He was making me feel so sinister and evil, and I hated it. Or I loved it. I didn't know how to feel about anything. Until now, he told me the reason they were flipping out is because they were becoming in touch with their sane selves again, and they didn't know how to react. He constantly told me that we had to find the golden ticket patient, who would emerge from the water and be completely cured of all their mental problems. Then they would act as the antidote, in a sense. I wasn't sure exactly how it would work, and I couldn't help but think that it was some sort of sick game. But he was the smartest doctor in the institution, after all, so I had to put some sort of trust in him. I was beginning to have nightmares of the subjects. I needed some justice. I managed to get into Dr. Smith's office when he was out on a medication run, and I got into his files. I found something that changed my outlook on the whole situation entirely. It read Infectio Amini, which means infection of the mind in Latin. I remember this from school. It was a file about a technique where someone was injected with a harmless, in the long term, acidic substance, mixed with a type of morphine which rendered the subject paralyzed, but feeling as though they were being cooked from the inside out. It also had a strong psychoactive substance in it, which made every minute they went by feel like an hour. But what about the water? I then went on to read that if placed in a tub of pink sea salt, the substance injected into them will react through the skin and make the subject feel as though they were having a heart attack, and their lungs have completely closed. I was shocked as I realized we had some patients in this thing for up to 6 hours at a time. We've been still carrying out our experiments, Dr. Smith and I. I called him out on what I'd found in his files years ago, and he informed me of all the wonders of ancient dark torture. Now, I can't explain why I love this so much and it eats away at me every day, but I just can't stop. As soon as a worried son or mother delivers the next victim to our little house of fun, me and Smith are straight down to the experimentation room, with the excuse of an opening evaluation every time. We'd have the fuckers completely mentally broken within a week, only writing on their reports that they were getting worse and need to be kept in the hospital for another year, only giving us more time with them to feed on their pain. This will be my final entry, and I don't know what I've become. The hospital is being investigated this week. January 1st, 2018. Officer James Riggins. The report is being opened again due to many aspects having been unresolved in the first instance. The events at St. Anthony's home for the mentally unstable took place from approximately 1998 onward until 2013. The allegations were carried out by a Dr. Robert Maxwell, who was found to have schizophrenia and an intense split personality disorder. He created an alter ego, who he referred to as Dr. Smith, who he blamed all the corrupt behavior towards the patients on. The man does not and never did exist. Everything Mr. Maxwell has claimed has been done by himself, and himself alone. Robert Maxwell has been branded hereby insane, and a danger to himself and others, and remains in maximum security, to be under suicide watch at all times, until an evaluation is to be held. In 3 years. Officer James Higgins. Report closed.